Robert Humes was a Scottish philosopher and a skeptic, definitely not anyone that appreciated the Word of God. However, he would walk and many miles on the Lord's Day to hear John Brown of Haddington preach. Well, ask why he did it, especially with how he believed and all. Hume said, "I go to hear him because he always preaches as though Jesus Christ is at his elbow." True, Spirit-anointed preaching does have the great privilege of revealing Christ. And we certainly see that in Acts chapter 2 with Peter's message. So if you'll turn there with me, this is Pentecost. And I'm going to just take a few minutes as we're going to be going into the table of the Lord here tonight. But this is a very special passage as we read in verse 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." And here's the key. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and the strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice." This is the first sermon that marks the beginning of the church, the first sermon of the Christian era. And it's significant that God chose Peter, who had denied him. And God gave him this great opportunity to open up the gospel first to the Jews. And it was a tremendous opportunity. He was speaking, I believe, there at that time in the temple courtyard. And there were thousands of people listening to him at the very place, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, where they were crying out, "Crucify him." And now he's preaching the gospel with power. What made the difference? The coming of the Spirit of God. A dramatic day. All that had been accomplished by Christ now made it possible for the promise of the Spirit to be fulfilled, and the Spirit of God would now be able to come and indwell God's people. They would be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so this was a very dramatic moment. We usually think of messages with two or three points. Spurgeon used to have four-point messages, and the Puritans had 8 to 14 points. I am not a Puritan, so don't worry. This was not a three-point message as such, but it was a masterful message. It was a three-scripture message. Three scriptures were expounded by Peter, and we will get that into that the next time that we look at this. But the question I just simply want to answer here in these few moments is, why did he preach this message? Well, obviously, he preached it because God the Spirit told him to. He wanted to give the gospel, but there was a direct reason. And that was, first of all, he wanted to correct the wrong perspective of what was going on. When the Spirit of God came, the gospel went forth with those dedicated 120 believers, and they were proclaiming the gospel in the tongue of all of the different Jewish people that had come for the Feast of Pentecost. Most were unable to come because of weather to the Feast of Passover, but they would come to the Feast of Pentecost. So you had Jews from the diaspora that were from many, many different backgrounds and knew many different languages. And so many of them were hearing these people speak, but it seemed like gibberish to them because they didn't know that language. They knew another language, and then they'd hear it over here, and it was a confusing thing and yet an amazing thing. They heard in their own heart language, other than the Hebrew or Aramaic, they heard the gospel being given. And so this mocking about these men are full of new wine, he wanted to clarify this, so he addresses the people of Israel. This message was clearly for the Jew. And so we read in verse 14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words." He's clearly addressing Israel because first God is declaring to the people, his own people, that he is now doing a marvelous work. This is a fulfillment of the fact that the gospel would go to the Gentiles, and this is a work of God, and very clear, and that's why it was dramatic, that's why it was miraculous. Gangle, the commentator, says, "Now filled with the Holy Spirit and fresh from the Pentecost experience, Peter found new courage. He commanded immediate attention and addressed his remarks to fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem. Drunkenness, not a chance, not at 9 in the morning. On feast days, a Jew would not break fast till 10. And so he reminds them of their Jewishness. This was not possible. But if this was for the people of Israel, God was doing something new. This was a fulfillment of what God had said. And this is that period of time that was seen in Daniel and other places. So he addresses the people of Israel. And then he clarifies what is truly happening. Verse 15, "For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." He wants them to know that this is a divine work. They need to take note of it. God is doing something. This is on God's agenda. And they're seeing something that every Israelite needs to wake up and understand. So he wants them to know this is a work of God. Marshall, the commentator, says the primary reaction was one of incomprehension. The crowds were very naturally at a loss to know what was happening, and this situation created the opportunity for Peter to address them and explain what it was all about. More particularly, he was given a lead into his speech or message by the fact that some people were ready to explain the speaking in tongues as the result of drunkenness. That would be a very natural explanation to offer if one heard people making unintelligible noises, as some of the sounds must have seemed to those of the hearers who did not recognize the particular language being used. H.A. Ironside said this came very clear to him when he was in San Francisco, and they would go down to a portion of town where all of the sailors would go that came off of the ships from all around the world. And they would give the gospel. They would hold meetings from 8 o'clock till midnight and endeavor to win men to Christ. Well, one speaker was a missionary from Argentina, Spaniard by birth, and yet he spoke fluently French, Italian, Portuguese, and other languages. So when he'd see a group of French seamen go by, and that was usually on their caps, he would begin to start preaching in French, and they would all gather around, and he'd see many of them come to know the Lord. Then he'd see some Portuguese sailors. They were pretty obvious, and he would swing over to them and speak in Portuguese. And then later he would see Spaniards or Mexicans and preach to them, and then Italians. And so he said it was rarely a Saturday night that he did not speak in all of those different languages. And Ironside said, "More than once I've seen persons come up and say, what is the use of listening? He's drunk. You can't understand a word he is saying." And the problem was they didn't know the language. Very similar to the situation here at Pentecost. And so it was very important for Peter to get up and to clarify, this is not some unique thing. This is, as some of the people realize, this is the wonderful works of God. This is a divine fulfillment of Joel. And he says that. So let's go to the second point. He explains the true meaning. And he quotes Joel here. And it came to pass in the last days, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven and above it, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he uses this prophecy to explain what was happening and to go into the gospel. And then later he would again clarify that what they were seeing and evidencing was the coming of the Spirit of God, the outpouring of the Spirit. And he quotes Joel here. Now, obviously, you have the fulfillment of the Spirit of God coming and the outpouring of God working to empower the church to go forward. And then you have the signs that would be part of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Many times you have that kind of thing blended. And so there's no doubt, by the way he says this, that what occurred at Pentecost is the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, starting in verse 28. And it's amazing here. Obviously, he was under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, but he quotes this perfectly. And so he knew these verses. He understood the significance. God had been working in their hearts, and they realized this was a very key moment, and this was going to be all that Christ had told them would happen. And now they were understanding it, and God had worked in their hearts, and they were now in this new age, the church age, and the Spirit of God would lead, and there would be a great work that is done. So it was the beginning of a new era. So he wanted to clarify this was divine. This is for the nation of Israel. This is not something like you're saying. This is a major fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, and this is now God doing a special work. And in our next message, we will be looking at the substance of this message, which is very, very key. This lays it right out, pulls prophecies together, and lets us understand what God is doing on this very important day. And let me remind you again, we studied this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, but verse 21, it says, "And the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe." In other words, for the nation of Israel, the tongues were going to be a clear sign that God was doing a great work. The church was going to be for Jew and Gentile alike. The Spirit of God would be poured out. And this was a dramatic turn in the affairs of men. As I said, Pentecost, one of the great days in the history of mankind. Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit has come? Jesus was very thankful to say, "It's better for you that I go away, because the Comforter is going to come." And folks, every morning when you wake up, if you know the Lord, you have God in you. It's because of what Jesus Christ did. And so here tonight, we're going to celebrate the table of the Lord. And this helps us understand, just looking at Acts chapter 2, the significance of what Christ did. He suffered so that every need of ours would be met eternally and now, and that we would have actual fellowship with him, and that the Spirit of God would join us to divinity, and that we would be able to accomplish this great work of reaching the entire world with the gospel. And so as we celebrate the table of the Lord, I trust that we will have not only appreciation for all that Christ did, but what it means for us right now. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ is revealed in us, manifest in us, because the Comforter has come, as John chapter 15 has said. Ever had peace that passeth all understanding? That's the Holy Spirit. Ever been crying, but the joy of the Lord came into your heart unexplainably? That's the Holy Spirit. Ever read the Word of God and all of a sudden you realize, wow, that's what that means. That is amazing. Ever been convicted of sin? That's the Holy Spirit. Ever been amazed as you started to talk to somebody about the gospel and all of a sudden the power of God came upon you and that person got saved? That's the Holy Spirit. On and on I could go. We have a great Savior and we have a great privilege because of what our Savior has done.